I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Danny and Dusty.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
With Danny Murray and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
What ruckus? I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
And 1080.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
The Fan.
Item 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a glorious Thursday afternoon. Happy Halloween to all of you out there, all you little monsters. We appreciate you. We love you. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan or Twitch.tv/1080AMTheFan, or just spamming the living hell out of the Vancouver Ford text line with a million different things. We love you, even the ones that we don't. Without further ado, it's Thursday clock. It's hour number 3. It's a little after 2, which means it's time for us to make our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. We've got a time to make our NFL picks for the week. Dusty has sent his in, so we've got his to go off of. We had to make one slight adjustment because he had the Ravens or the Broncos +9. It is at +8 for him. So I have made that adjustment for him. Otherwise, we are good to go. Last week, I went 2-2. I need to go through and calculate Dusty's. I think he went 2-2 as well, which would mean he would be in the lead at 22-10. I am at 20-11-1. Jeff Frost, right there, 18-12-2. Everybody's having a good year so far.
Like, yeah, how is 18-12-2 bringing up the rear?
I know. Everybody. Everybody's having a good year.
Everyone's
right now.
Great.
Will's not tracked on here, so
yeah. He'll. Everyone's great. 2-1 and Sprague in the line.
He's got his guest spots.
There you go.
66 and Sprague in the line.
I think this is going to be a line that most of us are probably going to go down. I have no idea. I get it. Short week and everything. The Texans being road dogs. That's a bit of a surprise against this Jets team tonight on Thursday night. I get it. Stephon Diggs is out. The Texans are a little banged up. Their defense has been exposed. The Jets have been objectively bad, and you're giving the Texans points.
Right.
I have to take this. This may be the sucker bet of the season, and I'm just going to hit that line like the biggest big mouth bass you've ever seen.
What'd you get it at?
+2.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you don't take this line.
I am right there with you. I actually took them on the money line because they're plus money. But if you're going to give me 2 points, I'm going to take 2 points. If this is the biggest sucker bet of the weekend, it's Halloween. I'm going to fall for it as well. The Jets are horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first one, too. I was like, we're 8 weeks in. This is week 9 starting. Why do people still give the Jets any kind of a benefit of a doubt? I don't understand it.
Greeny?
So I'm sorry.
He's got his thumb on the scales at ESPN bet.
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry. I'm taking the Houston Texans as a 2-point road dog.
And again, Dusty also taking this bet. This might be the first time we've ever had a clean sweep. All of us, when we're picking the same game, we're all taking the same thing. Pick number 2 for me. This has been a pick for me that I have rode all season except for last week when the Bears were -3, and it looked like they were going to cover 23 seconds to go against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. I'll revisit the Bears here in a second.
I had them at -1.
But I'm going to go. Oh, did you? Oh, no.
I had them at -1.
It's tough. It's tough.
You had what?
I had the Bears at -1 last week.
Basically, if they win, it was fine, which I would have had to push at -3 because I took it on Thursday.
I was the winner until I wasn't.
Tough. I'm going to go on the other side of that. The Giants are terrible. The Commanders are -4. Honestly, I would take this up to 6. Give me the Commanders -4 against the Giants because the Giants suck something fierce. And Jaden Daniels is having a magical rookie season.
I'm going to go with Atlanta minus 2.5 at home against the Cowboys. The Cowboys defense has struggled this season. I know they're coming off a bye, but I feel like Atlanta is really clicking right now. They have the inside track to win the NFC South. And Kirk Cousins seems to get healthier and healthier each week, which doesn't usually happen with an aging quarterback. But when you're coming off an Achilles tear like he is, it just feels like he knocked a lot of the rust off early on in the season. And that defense, while they're not great, they do just a good enough job to slow down most teams. And I don't think that this Cowboys offense is going to be good enough to put up the points that they need to beat Atlanta in home.
I'm following Danny here. I've got the Giants are still the Gigantes, and I'll be the first one to admit that I was off on the Jaden Daniels thing, and I'm full on that train now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to take the Commanders minus 4 at the Giants.
Dusty's second pick, he's taking the Lions minus 2.5 at the Packers. Jordan Love a little dinged up. That certainly seems like Jordan Love, I believe, did not practice today. Is that what I saw?
I believe you're correct. It's trending towards Malik Willis. Did Dusty go Lions?
Yeah.
Minus 3.5? That would two of us.
Yeah, minus 2.5. So,
two and a half.
Yeah. I am taking the Patriots Titans over. The number is 38. I get it. Drake May out. Questionable with a concussion. Both these teams suck. 38 points is not that much.
It 38 is bad.
It's one the of the. It's a great suck off. And when you
is that me?
No, that's me.
Oh,
are you kidding me? Come on now. I guess you're gonna suck. Suck hard. That part. This is one of those when you get two negatives make a positive. Much like when the Chiefs and the Raiders play, for no reason other than the football gods get bored, points get scored. This is one of those situations, two crappy teams together. I think they're just going to find a way to eke out over 38.
I'm staying in that game. Believe it or not, this is where it gets crazy. There is a theory, a rumor, if you will, a new trend.
Mm.
You need to bet teams after they play the Lions.
Oh,
this is
the
Chris
beat to hell?
Long yep. theory where they beat you to hell and then they cover. I only have one stat for you in this regard because I've only bet one game off of this stat, and that was Minnesota. I bet on the Rams last Thursday night, and the Rams covered against Minnesota. I am going to hold my nose, plug my ears. I don't know how I'm going to do that with just two hands. I'm going to take the Patriots plus 3 against the Titans.
Speaking of not having enough hands, it's hard enough for me in here to play all these buttons and stuff and get back on the YouTube breaks and such, so I apologize to our YouTube viewers for missing the last segment. But anywho, I'm going to go to Buffalo. Look, I'm on the Josh Allen train. I'm on the Buffalo train, and Tua Tagovailoa's brain might still be jello, and it's a 6-point line. I'm taking the Bills minus 6.
Yeah, it was a tasty one. I almost hit that one, but the 6-point line is like that's where it always gets a little weird for me. I'm a little hesitant. Dusty's third pick, he went Cowboys Falcons under 51.5. He always finds one little weird one in there that
he likes to throw in one over under.
Yep.
Every week.
I have kind of gone on a train. I am my last pick. I'm going Bears plus 1.5 at the Cardinals. I mentioned this yesterday or on Tuesday in a 3-up, 3-down. The Bears are 0-3 on the road and they have scored 14.5 points per game. They've scored 30 points per game at home. But they are a 1.5 point road dog. But I'm going to take that the Cardinals is the team they get right against. Betting against the trends, but that's what we're going to do. What do you got, Will?
My last one, I've got the Chargers minus 1.5 against the Cleveland Browns. The reason for this is Jameis Winston loves to throw interceptions.
He does.
I mean, you have the great historic comeback that they had last week against the Ravens. The play before he threw the touchdown should have been the easiest interception game sealer of all time, and Hamilton just couldn't come up with it from the safety position, and then Jameis found the end zone. I think that Harbaugh has this defense clicking on all cylinders, and they are going to wait. They are going to make the Browns drive down the field, not find any explosive plays, because eventually Jameis is going to Jameis. He loves to throw interceptions. He's the only 30-30 quarterback ever in the history of the NFL. He's going to find a way to throw interceptions, and then this Chargers offense is going to do just enough to get into the end zone multiple times, probably 2 or 3 times, and I think that will get you the cover.
See, I thought about this one too, but the thing is, the Cleveland Browns are one team that I will never, I can't say never, almost never bet for or against. And precisely because of this reason, because of Jameis Winston coming in, and this is his second start?
This is his second start. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's his third action.
And you don't know what you're going to get from Jameis. You could have the one where he came out and threw for, what, 300 yards and three touchdowns yep. last week? Or you could have the Jameis that went and fell down backwards throwing the ball against the Oregon Ducks. You know, so I stayed away from that one. My final pick is always the Jacksonville Jaguars game. They are currently 7.5-point road dogs at Philadelphia. Right? So I feel like they started to put something together a little bit.
There you go.
And yeah, so you know, I'm going to take that hook. I'm going to take that hook, and I'm taking Jacksonville plus 7.5.
All right, Dusty's last pick. He ended up taking one of the bigger lines of the week. He took the Broncos plus 8 at the Ravens. That's a pretty big number. The Broncos offense certainly isn't anything to write home against unless they're playing the Panthers. But that Ravens defense is it's doo-doo. So, and you've had Lamar Jackson who's taken an extra day before getting going against the Broncos. So he's going to head down that path. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Those are our picks for this week. The Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks that you can – Lead Pipe Mocks? Mockingbird? Yeah. I don't know.
Talking about something like that.
Every Thursday afternoon around 2 o'clock. 2-ish. That's what we do. All right, coming up next, that part.
I don't even know what you're trying to say.
I was trying to say playoffs, and I went by polyoffs.
Polyoffs. You were trying to say police officers, I believe.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Officer Gillis?
Look, man, when you talk 3 hours a day for a living, then
you're bound to butcher something.
You find a way to just have a word salad pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Coming up next. Buyers and sellers, what? The NFL trade deadline is coming up. Who needs to do what? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFL trade deadline is rapidly approaching. Buyers, sellers, those sitting on the sidelines. You look at where things are standing in the NFL right now, and it's as clear as mud. You've got good teams in the AFC, and then you've got crappy teams. There doesn't really seem to be a soft center, as it were. Maybe some teams that are trying to figure it out. The Broncos have a good defense, don't have a good offense.
There's no chewy nougat anywhere in the AFC.
The Ravens have a great offense and a not-so-great defense. The Chargers, they have a...
You calling the AFC the Three Musketeers?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they are. Like, look, the Chiefs, the Texans, the Steelers, and the Bills. Like, those four teams have very, very clearly set themselves apart.
I used to bite all the chocolate off and then take the nougat and roll it up into a ball.
That's clean. You can keep that for later. That's a very specific thing. It's a very specific thing to do there. But those four teams have set themselves apart.
That like was awesome.
I don't think anybody's really going to question that at all. And you take a look at the rest. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals, they're 3-5, and they've got one of the best quarterbacks in the world. They've got one of the best wide receivers, but their defense is in shambles. If you take a look at a team like the Bengals, you take a look at a team like the Dolphins, who they shouldn't have a quarterback right now, yet they do, and you look at a team like the Chargers, they're all in different stages. And I think if you look at what they're trying to accomplish this year and going forward, you look at the Bengals and you go, that's a team that is supposed to be win now. Yet, do they need to take a gap year? Because of where they are salary-wise, where they are contract-wise, they don't really have any value deals. You look at what they've done. Their defense isn't crappy because they haven't spent on defense. They have spent a fair amount of money on the defensive side of the ball. The problem is they're getting longer or older, and their effectiveness on the defensive side of the ball is just not there after spending that money, and they probably need to find an infusion of talent. Now, do you go out and make trades and hope you can somehow catch lightning in a bottle this season?
The part that's funny is they're two spots out of the playoffs.
That's the thing. Is that,
right now,
that's the argument for it.
They're 3-5. I mean, the Colts, clearly that's what they did with Anthony Richardson being benched so that they could go with Joe Flacco. They clearly made a call that they weren't going to be able to get to the playoffs with Anthony Richardson, and so they were going to go with Joe Flacco.
But they look at the wild card openings. They went, hey, look, the Texans are there. But
I think that's Steichen being like, I want to make sure I can get to the playoffs so I can make sure that I keep my job, because he doesn't seem to think that Anthony Richardson is the guy, which I don't disagree with him. If I'm the Cincinnati Bengals,
I don't think anybody's arguing that.
With how weak the AFC has been this year, why be a seller if you're Cincinnati? You know, like, that defense isn't very good, but you've shown that you have an ability to get hot when you need to. Are you a good playoff team if you make the playoffs? No, probably not, but you're definitely a team that I would consider as a frisky team. So to me, I don't see a reason why you would be a seller. Just because, I mean, look, right now you take the top four teams and you can almost make them a shoe-in of getting in. Everyone else, there isn't that much that separates 9-5. So if you're Cincinnati, now if you're Miami, Cleveland, Vegas, Jacksonville, dude, it's over. It's done.
Oh, yeah.
Don't.
100%.
Don't worry about it. You can be a seller. But if I'm the Bengals, Colts, Chargers, Ravens, Broncos, I'm not selling anything. And I'm trying to do whatever I can to get there. Right? Like that's just what you have to do. If I'm the Broncos, I might not even be a buyer. I'm just, let's stay the course and see what happens.
Yeah, you take a look at the Broncos. They're 5-3, but you look at their point differential. They're plus 53. Guess who it's come against? It's come against the Raiders, the Panthers, and the Saints. You got your plus 14 against the Panthers, your plus 23 against the Saints, and you're what, plus 16 against the Raiders.
Well, and if you're the Broncos, you know that even if you do sneak into the playoffs somehow, you're not doing it.
You're not.
Yeah, so you don't want to
mortgage Jets by one.
You don't want to mortgage anything this year.
Let's chill out on the Broncos being their defense is good. Like, that's where they are. Offensively, they're not good.
Yeah. You do perhaps have a bright future, but yeah, it's not happening.
You
this
don't
season.
Need to go chase that dragon future. Right now.
You get three hard games, but then you get three easier, four. Well, you get your next three games are Ravens, Chiefs, Falcons. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be tough games. You'd like to win one of them, but
I was gonna say, you would love to win one of those.
There's a decent chance you go 0-3.
That might not happen. Yeah.
But then you end the year Raiders, Browns, Colts, Chargers, Bengals, Chiefs. At the very end. Right. So your last
five games.
It depends.
Is Macaulay Culkin playing quarterback for the Bengals?
Perhaps.
He might be, depending on where they're at.
The Bengals, if they steer into the skid, and that's the thing, is if they don't opt to make moves and things go sideways for them, are they a potential team where Joe Burrow's hands bothered him towards the end of the season, and maybe you take a look at a young guy, and again, you maybe chase a little bit of draft capital. And then the flip side of this is you take a look at the NFC.
Everyone's the same garbage, well, except for Detroit.
I mean, you've got Detroit. The number two team in the NFC right now is the Commanders.
Yeah.
That's an insane thing to say. But outside of them, it's the Lions, Packers, Vikings. It's the NFC East. The Eagles seem to have found a little bit of mojo. But if you're looking at that group of teams, I think the only team that you're looking at and going, that's a title-contending team that needs to make a move, is the Lions, and that's because of the loss of Hutchinson.
I don't disagree with you there, because you literally lose half of your sacks, half of your pressures, half of basically any stat at getting to the quarterback. You lost half of it with him going out. The question is who are you going to be able to go get that no one's going to be what Aiden Hutchinson was? There's no one on the market that is that.
Even, the Raiders aren't giving away Max Crosby.
Even if they do. Let's say pie in the sky, best case scenario for Detroit, you get Max Crosby. Max Crosby wasn't playing at the level that Aiden Hutchinson was playing. He's playing at 90%, but Aiden Hutchinson was on pace to be the defensive player of the year, not just defensive lineman.
Yeah, Crosby's been dealing with a high ankle sprain for 2 months.
Worked,
you could tell it's affecting him.
Hutchinson was at certain points looking like TJ Watt.
Yeah, no, he was
like, that's how good he was. So whoever you get isn't going to replace them.
But it's also
that's
a big gap to fill. And if you can get something that is replicable.
Close enough, right? And you need to, because honestly, I don't buy this secondary.
No.
This secondary isn't very good.
It's patchworky.
And the reason that they were doing okay was because they got away with 1,000 holds. I mean, shoot. Watch the Seahawks Monday night game against Detroit. There was a flag every other play. And then eventually the refs were like, we can't make this a ref show, even though they are holding, even though there is defensive PI.
They kept that for the Seahawks game and all those penalties.
Right.
Like, not that it was a ref show, but they just, yeah.
100%.
They kept shooting themselves in the foot.
Well, yeah. The Seahawks have their own issues. But what I'm saying is with that secondary, they're probably not championship caliber unless you have everyone else protecting them. So go out and make a trade. Go buy, because you are for sure in a win now mode. You have to be, with how good this offense is playing and with how good the defense was playing in the front seven before the Hutchinson injury. The question is just who can you reasonably go and get? Because I don't think that you're going to get Crosby. And if you're not going to get Crosby,
who's the Brian Burns on the market?
Who? And I'll tell you right now, he's not.
No. But you're talking about the team that you're like, they should trade him with the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
When they had him, when they could have gotten two first.
Now he's in New York.
But I mean, when they had the option and the offer of two first round picks.
Right.
Like, there's always that player.
Who's the pass rusher?
Do the Lions want to do that right now? And I would argue that they're probably the only team in the NFC that absolutely unequivocally should. The Bears have already expended a lot of capital to build what they are right now, and they've got a rookie quarterback.
And their biggest issue is O-line. You're not going to find one O-lineman and drastically change all of their issues.
Well, not only that.
It's just not
teams just aren't going to give those guys up midseason. That's not what happens. I think the Commanders are in the same position as the Bears of like, hey, do you need to kickstart this thing and force it with your young quarterback and this young team? No, it's working right now.
Right.
Keep building. Let's see what happens.
Right.
They're in a good spot. Don't exhaust your resources. Don't exhaust your cap. You're not there yet. You go up and down the NFC. The NFC West is probably the division that is most primed for, hey, go make a move. Because the Cardinals, the 49ers, the Seahawks are all 4-4. They haven't had their bye yet.
And the Rams are 3-4
because they've already had their bye. You can make an argument for every single team here to go and go get somebody.
And the Seahawks have made a couple moves. They went and got Jones IV to play linebacker.
Was an absolute monster for them last week.
I'll tell you this. That's the most terrifying thing for so many different reasons.
We had 18 tackles last week.
I believe it was 15.
It was a monster number.
A huge number. Here's the problem with that. You traded for that dude on Tuesday. There is no way that dude knows your defense.
And he's already playing like that.
Which is great. Which means you went out and you got a big-time player.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't really cost you.
It's also really bad because you have a bunch of dudes who have been in that system all year, and Buffalo ran all over you. Mm-hmm. They didn't even really have to lean on Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. That's how much that offensive line and James Cook really went out and cooked your defense. And though the guys who have been in the system all year, they should be the ones making the tackles. It's like when you go and you get a big-name receiver, you throw them a touchdown the first week that they're there. Amari Cooper, right? You make sure DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. he gets his touches. But he's in certain plays because they're the easiest plays that everybody
this, yes.
runs.
Mm-hmm.
So either you are in the easiest plays of your defense.
All the time.
Or you have a bunch of dudes that were just getting their butt kicked.
And not doing the
job. And you had a guy who kind of knows his job and was saving you.
So.
Terrifying.
It is. But yeah, that's our NFL trade deadline is coming up. And I'm sure it's definitely not going to land on or around or about a very important day in this country that nobody else will talk about.
It's on
election day.
I was going to say, is it today?
Yeah, no.
What if the NFL steals election day?
Oh, if you don't think that one of those...
Have some of your tasty beverages.
I did not hit that on purpose, okay. But anyway.
Like, all of a sudden, Hassan Reddick gets traded to the Lions, and then what else would be a big trade?
Oh, if you don't think one of these NFL newsbreakers
if he gets seven electoral votes.
Well, look, this. I'm telling you the framework for the tweet now. One of these NFL newsbreakers is going to jokingly say, in the biggest news of the day...
No, here's the
team
thing.
Team X is traded to
Schefter
team
will
y.
say that, and it won't be a
the
joke.
The Jaguars are trading Travis Etienne Jr. to...
That's what's going to happen, and it's going to...
You're the biggest vote of confidence today.
And your eyes are going to roll out of your skull, and you're like, oh my God, I hate all of you so much.
I can't wait to turn my phone off on Tuesday.
Right? It'll be fun. All right, coming up next, there's some undercurrents in the NBA. Only five games into the season. Could you see a superstar trade before things really get underway? Danny and Dusty, 10 in the Fan. He did the match. We are five whole games and 1 week into the NBA season. And already, headline on CBS Sports Today, Giannis Antetokounmpo's future is being called into question after ugly start.
Time to move on. Time for him to leave.
Giannis was always looked at as the next possible star that could leave, or teams hoped would leave. And it's one of those situations where it's inevitable. Anytime a player gets to 30 years old, or roughly 30 years old, or about 30 years old, it's like, oh, it's time for them to go. They're moving on. And the new CBA and the ramifications and what it does to your roster with the amount of money that is due to superstar players makes these things all come together. And Giannis has hinted at it before. He basically wants to continue to be, he's won a title and he won it his way. So he's going to want to continue to win and win his way.
Isn't that why they brought Damian Lillard in? And how pissed would Dame be if all of a sudden Giannis scoots?
I will tell you this.
Wouldn't be the first time.
I'm not going to speak for Dame, but my understanding and the relationship that I have with him, he would not be a happy camper about that. I would imagine.
I don't think we have to rely on your relationship with him to know that he would not be happy with that.
I would imagine they'd try to find a landing spot for him somewhere on a hard reset. But this is interesting because here's the thing. The article from CBS Sports has multiple quotes from anonymous executives. And it's the would-be preferred destinations if he left, where the teams I've heard are Miami and New York, and he means the Nets, not the Knicks. And
why?
Are we going to hear all about the Tyler Hero hate trade package again?
Yes. Why the Nets, though?
Because they have a ton of draft assets and all the salary cap in the world, and it's New York market.
And New York adjacent.
Knicks
but
don't.
They're not primed to win right now.
No, but if you get there with Giannis and you have other cap space and other tools to make things happen, you could feasibly.
Now look, others might come.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do this, you end up. But what you do is you wait till this. You hope you can wait till this summer. You suck horribly this year, and you end up with one of the top three picks, and then you trade for Giannis, and you have something else.
And Flag or Giannis and Bailey.
Well, I mean, I think you'd have to give up that pick, but you'd have to kind of see where it lands. Is it if it's Cooper Flag? Look, Giannis is probably a top 15, top 20 player of all time, and he's in his prime. Do you give that up for right now and trying to make that move? I don't know, but if he's wanting to force his way there, okay. But also, I don't think we're in the era of forcing yourself anywhere, because right now, with the way the Miami Heat are set up, they have a 0% chance of landing Giannis.
Well, and the new CBA kind of proves you have to build it homegrown.
For all intents and purposes, yes, that's kind of how it has to go. But you could also be a team like one of Oklahoma City or Houston. And the only reason I'm giving this any credence is the Houston Rockets are waiting. They are waiting for a star to shake free. And Ime Udoka is sitting there. Tillman Fertitta is sitting there. They are waiting for a team to have an in-prime star shake free, because they have a crap ton of assets, both player and draft capital.
So is it they think they're that close?
They were pretty decent last year.
Just think about how many players they have, okay? They've got Fred VanVleet. They've got Dylan Brooks. They've got Jabari Smith Jr. They've got Amen Thompson. They've got Alperen Şengün. They've got Jalen Green. Like, you just start going down Reed Shepard, Cam Whitmore. Like,
I get it. You just listed off like seven dudes, and so far nobody has yet blown my skirt up.
But the thing is, like, if you add Giannis to that, what does that do to those other guys?
But does that make you a championship contender?
Yes.
I don't think so.
In the NBA, yes.
Giannis and Alperen Şengün and Dylan Brooks.
And Fred VanVleet.
What do you mean?
Are you saying that? Well, I was saying that Fred VanVleet would be there. When I look at that team, that doesn't seem like a team that's going to compete with the Knicks, let alone Boston.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is one of the three best players on the planet.
Disagreeing with you.
If you have one of the three best players on the planet and you surround them with above average role players, they are a title contender.
Well, but isn't that already in Milwaukee?
Well, no. I mean,
because they're old, maybe?
Yeah, that's the thing. Chris Middleton had double ankle surgery this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Brook Lopez is not looking like Father Time is nipping at his heels. Marjon Beauchamp, who is one of their young guys that they hope would kind of do something and pop this year, they just declined his option, his rookie year option, which means they're just going to go.
Yeah, they're like,
right.
Yeah,
they just did a bit of a miss.
But I don't I still don't think that Houston team then becomes like even with
they're
Giannis,
not they're not done though. Because they've got players and capital. They can make multiple moves. They have so much salary and so many different salary slots. They can go 18 different ways.
So they're what Portland was before when they were trying to unload Lillard, and we got so many options and so many pieces to try to move things.
Yep.
And that worked out really good.
Well, for Houston, though, they do have every single like salary slot and every single level and every single draft pick. Like they can, and then Oklahoma City has more picks than anyone, and they have so like the only things that are untouchable.
Well, yeah,
for
what, over
Oklahoma
the next
City,
couple of years, Oklahoma City has more picks more than a roster's worth.
Yes. I mean, the only things on that roster that are untouchable.
Mouthful of peanut butter.
No, it's okay. SGA, Jalen Williams, Chet. Those are the only untouchables on that roster.
Right, right.
Everything else can go, and they have all of the picks in the world. And even, to be honest, if you're trading Giannis, you might be okay trading one of Jalen Williams or Chet.
Well, and if Giannis goes...
Which Jalen Williams?
The good one.
Right. If Giannis goes there, now I think you're right with the championship contender.
Well, yeah, you have two MVP. You have MVP and an MVP contender.
100%. That, to me, would be one where it's like, okay, that's a move for him trying to win more of a championship. If he goes to Houston, to me, that's him trusting Houston to make more moves to make them a title contender. Because if you just throw Giannis onto Houston's roster, that isn't a championship contender. I don't even know if they get out of the West. You look at what OKC has. OKC is ahead of schedule. OKC is almost hit on every single draft.
Here's my pushback to that. Did the Dallas Mavericks move you until you saw them in the finals last year? Because if you have a heliocentric freak of nature that is either Luka Doncic or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Nikola Jokic, they are so impactful, particularly in basketball. Remember, it's different than football. It's different
100%,
than baseball. It's like that one dude can just be everything.
100%.
And if you've got, and let's say that the Rockets make this move and they send out Amen Thompson, they send out Jabari Smith Jr., they send out draft capital, and whether one of Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and they end up with some version of like a Van Vliet, Dylan Brooks, Reed Shepard, Alperen Şengün, right? Some amalgamation of that. You have above average players, shooting, and versatility everywhere. Now, would it make sense to move Alperen Şengün and get something else? Yeah. Would there be offers and suitors for him? Yeah.
Like, yeah, and he's a guy that intrigues me.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, they have so many different ways that they can go about this that I wouldn't be surprised if they went Giannis and then move some stuff here and move some stuff there, and then all of a sudden they start looking like a team like, oh, crap, real quick.
I think that's a different conversation, though, because, like, if I'm Giannis and I trust them to do all those things, because that's what he would have to do.
It would already be done.
He would have to put like blind trust into them, or at least
a wink and a nod.
75% of, you know, whatever. To me, if I'm Giannis and I'm going to leave Milwaukee, which I kind of feel like he's going to do, like there's a lot of smoke around this fire and it's been for a couple years. I think, or at least in my own worldview, if I'm going to leave and I'm Giannis Antetokounmpo and all I care about now is titles because that's all they're ever going to truly judge me on, I'm going to go to the ready-made winner. And to me, that's already OKC. And it's a fair point that you have with Luka, but I would counter you with Luka ran into Boston and lost.
But you were still in the NBA Finals.
You got to the NBA Finals, but he wants to win.
Sure.
That's that Rockets roster as constructed now is not going to do that. And they would still have to make a pretty decent sized swing to become a title contender in my eyes.
And that's an S-W-I-N-J.
Pretty decent sized swing.
Big one.
But again, the insane part about this is that we are 5 games into the season and this is already there. This is not good for the game of basketball.
Well, no, and it seems like it. Well, it seems like kind of almost regardless of the sport or the league, these sorts of discussions are creeping up earlier and earlier and earlier into the season, whether it's the association or NFL or Major League Baseball or what have you, college football. You know, like they're talking about if Ryan Day can't get things done, is he going to get fired? The guy wins 10, 11 games every year. He had a Michigan problem and, you know, but it's just.
Everyone wants it fast.
Yes.
It's the TikTokification.
Well, it's also the early Rings culture that just reaches out and snatches your soul.
Actually, this might be a little bit old for Mr. Ortner, but it's the old Janet Jackson, "What Have You Done For Me Lately?"
No, I'm well aware of Janet Jackson. I'm also aware of that song. My coach used to play it when he'd talk about playing time. Well aware.
What have you done for me lately?
That's not where I thought that word originated from, but that makes sense. That's
right. I also know about the Timberlake thing. I don't remember it, but I'm aware of it.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember the halftime show.
Yeah, I know.
The nipple patch.
Yeah.
Don't tell me it wasn't. Look, it was intentional. Yeah, everybody knew it was scripted and intentional.
I'm too young to remember.
Don't pee on my shoes and tell me it's raining.
But it could also be raining.
Well, it might be raining, but don't pee on my shoes and tell me my shoe is wet because of the rain.
Coward. That's all I got for you. Oh, got a snort.
We did.
Fantastic. On that note, when we come back, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show before we hand it off to Isaac Zasuk here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
It's time for a Blazers Report on the Fan. The inside story on the Portland Trail Blazers. Brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria.
Portland Trail Blazers get their first road win of the season last night, taking on Los Angeles Clippers. Nobody scored in the final minute 38. But DeAndre Ayton did it just enough defensively as the Los Angeles Clippers decided to go to a lob pass / seal post-up opportunity for Ivica Zubac with 3.8 seconds remaining. DeAndre Ayton steals the ball and seals the win as the Clippers foul, and they did not have the ability, to put the Blazers at the free throw line because they had a foul to give. Blazers win. They take on the Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow night in a one-game little home twist.
Yeah, home return.
There you go. Before getting back out on the road and taking on the Phoenix Suns in a four-game road trip before heading back home to the friendly confines of the Moda Center. This Trailblazers Report on the Fan is brought to you by Aztec Willie's Taqueria, the best place to go before and after games or any event. Check them out on the corner of Southeast 15th and Broadway at AztecWillies.com. Have you seen Ghostbusters? Something weird. You haven't, have you?
Wow. What would make you say that?
The OG.
Oh, my God. You know what?
I'm telling you right now, I definitely didn't see
Frozen, the other one. Frozen Empire, that one was not very good.
I don't mind them. I find them entertaining.
The first new one with Paul Rudd was fine.
I enjoy all of them.
But the OG Ghostbusters is a great
one. Oh, yes.
Bill Murray. Harold Ramis. I mean, good.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. Good.
Rick Moranis.
It's so good.
You got some Ernie Hudson and Annie Potts in there. Some Sigourney Beaver. I'm sorry. What?
Was that a Freudian slip?
Was that a gourmet beaver I heard in there?
Was that a slip or was that on purpose? Because I know that's not the name.
I don't know why I've never heard that.
I might not have seen that movie, but I know that's not the name. I know that's not her name.
Oh, I might get a visit from HR.
Oh, God. I don't know why I've
Wait, that was on accident?
No, it was not. It was fully intentional.
Oh, okay.
That's fully intentional.
It was about as intentional as the NFL putting the Texans and Jets on Thursday Night Football. Like, I know.
That was supposed to be a good game.
I know that the whole idea of, like, every team needs to play the primetime games and everything. Like, God, I feel like I know there's no real way to do this, but being able to flex teams out of those games, just like,
they technically can. They can't flex individual teams.
That's
but
what I mean.
Games.
Yes. And it's like, the Thursday night ones are harder because of the way the schedule is lined up. But it's like,
yeah. Well, I think the flex comes between like a Sunday afternoon versus Sunday
night. Yes. That's what I'm saying. Yes. I would love on the solo nights if we could flex, like, this maybe this shouldn't be a standalone game.
this
or when they do the not the doubleheader, the double dip games on Monday nights, like maybe move this over to ESPN Plus. What was the game?
Well,
they was on
did. ESPN. Chargers
yeah.
and Cardinals.
Yeah,
and the game was rough.
Yeah, let's.
Oh, and weird. Guess what? That one had like the lowest ratings of any Monday night football game, like almost ever. Weird.
Not very good.
Two markets that don't care about their teams.
Well, and it was not on a channel.
But even then, like everybody talks about, oh, everybody's cutting cords, everybody's going to this, that, and it's like, no, they're not. They're not. It's no. it's yeah. still over the air and cable yeah. still reigns supreme.
Some of us old a-holes still like to channel flip.
Look, it's going to be 15 years before you get the full switch over. And even then, I don't know if it ever truly happens because with sports, more people still watch than traditional methods. We'll see.
Something happened to this TV that's across from me because you only get ESPN Plus. You don't actually get what's on the channels. I have been watching women's collegiate soccer
like
and women's volleyball.
D3 women's volleyball.
I think D1. He just is unable to figure Lindenwood. Out the Hulu user interface.
I went to sports. It's not under the 1080 one anymore. It's under Dan. And Dan...
Oh, what'd you do?
Oh, yeah, no, it's under mine because the login wasn't working. So.
Right. So now it's not under 1080. It's under Dan.
Use YouTube TV.
Oh,
don't use Hulu.
I feel like an idiot. Yeah. I've been over here watching Austin Peay women's soccer all day. Like, this sucks.
Yeah, dude.
There's five people at Morehead State right now watching this stupid Lindenwood Morehead State volleyball game.
It's dumb.
For those of you wondering, Morehead State, they're up 1-0 and up 21-19 in the second set.
It's a nice little court they got going there.
I'm a fan.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm going to just watch YouTube, or I'm going to watch ESPN Plus tomorrow.
There you go. But you do have YouTube TV there as an option, just so you know.
Thanks.
All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll get ready to hand you over to Isaac Asuk here on Primetime. Will Ortner filling in for Dusty today, and also tomorrow, because again, Dusty is on the road out in Ann Arbor as the Ducks take on the Wolverines this weekend. Everybody out there, have a wonderful, wonderful Halloween. Stay safe. Talk soon. Bye.
I used to bite all the chocolate off and then take the nougat and roll it up into a ball.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.